Okay, so this is a joint convention, and everybody here always talks almost solely about AM antennas, but I have some experience, a lot of experience in the past with FM antennas. We're going to talk about FM antennas a little bit here. One very current issue with FM antennas that I just realized is there are very few commercially made anymore. It seems that your channel masters, your wine guards, your antenna crafts, you know, some of these companies, they just don't make any kind of decent FM-only antenna anymore. To me, that is a major catastrophe. However, still, some of us have old FM antennas, and there's some manufacturers, foreign manufacturers, still making good FM antennas. So I'm going to talk about probably what was the best as far as performance and antenna pattern made, American-made antenna, and that was the APS-13. That was a specialty antenna made by Ed Hanlon, Antenna Performance Specialties in Connecticut. So this is a typical picture of an APS-13. You can see here you've got a couple of driven elements back here. You've got several reflectors. This antenna was 200 feet in length from the boom, the one end of the boom to the other. You can probably follow my mouse, and we don't need a pointer.
200 inches?
200 inches, excuse me, yes. So I did a lot of work with Ed as a consultant and a beta tester, although I had no financial interest in his company. I'll admit he gave me quite a few antennas for free. Years ago, when this antenna was being developed, his initial antenna was the APS-14. Similar length, but it was a slightly different arrangement, and my opinion was, back then when I was serious with FM, that we wanted something that had better antenna patterns. The original APS-14, was what they call a live boom design. In other words, there was signal on the boom of the antenna. Well, that just is not, in my opinion, the best way to get the best antenna patterns, the best side nulls, etc. He tried a lot of iterations. He came up with the APS-13. Again, he was computer modeling, having a manufacturer build them, and then I would test them on my roof of my old house where I had two antenna setups. I'd have each antenna about 25 feet in the air and maybe 25 feet apart, and I could compare them and compare them and compare them. Okay, and I did a lot of listening, and I'm 35 miles northwest of Chicago. That's not that bad a location for FM. Back in the day before every channel had 94 translators on it. We settled on this design when it was the best performing versus the APS-14. And what I did is I very carefully, under normal conditions, and I did two iterations of this, turned the antenna around, checked every frequency, and I could get seven more stations detectable, enough to know what they were with the APS-13 than I could with the APS-14. And it was clear to me the side nulls were better, and the front to back was still very good, but the patterns were a little better. So he went with this design and sold quite a few of them, and they were not cheap. And unfortunately, what happened with a lot of these antennas is, and there's a lot of bad press on this antenna, because a lot of them just, they weren't sturdy enough to handle the elements. You see here, here to here, that's a pretty good-sized boom support, but still what happened is you got 200 inches here, an antenna ices up in the winter, then you get snow on it and it freezes up, then the wind blows in a storm, and a lot of these antennas broke at the time. Unfortunately, these are unavailable anymore. I'm not quite sure why. I think they would have to be commercially available again. This antenna would have to be beefed up. Problem is, when you beef up an antenna, it weighs more. Oops. And you need a, now on a rotor, it's more, load on the rotor, et cetera, et cetera. Like making a better FM antenna and keeping it surviving is kind of like squeezing a balloon. Myself, when I get back into FMDX, when I retire, assuming there's not 18 stations on every channel within 20 miles of me, which is probably going to happen, I'm going to go, with some heavier duty antennas and just, suck it up and buy heavy duty rotors. Even using antennas like this, I burned out probably four El Cheapo Channel Master rotors, or the kind you buy at Radio Shack. If you want a DXFM and you have a big antenna up there, get a good rotor. Okay, now we can compare some FM antennas. And Here's the site. This is ham radio, ham/radio.com/K6STI/. And he's done modeling. He did not use Easy NEC, which I use. He used a slightly, some kind of different program, but he's got very accurate models. Now, let's look at an older FM antenna. A lot of guys here, remember, Channelmaster Probe 9s. Frank, didn't you use them?
Yes. I also have APS 13.
A lot of guys use the Probe 9, okay? And is there a picture? Yes, there is, okay? And you can see, you know, smaller antenna, 135 inches. No, but now, this is why I'm using the internet. I want you to look at the antenna pattern here. We've seen a lot of antenna patterns today. And this is scanning, okay? Here's your magic number right here, 30 dB. 30 dB is a really nice number for side nulls in front to back. Oops, this antenna does not have it, and it's 20 dB often. And now when we start to get up to the high end of the band, and people, and DX reported this, up at 107, 106, 108, the front to back goes away, up here. So that was a drawback with the Probe 9. This site also, I mean, great for comparison. You have, you know, table of front to back, etc. Let's go back. Let's look at the APS 13, and you can see how much better it was. Of course, it's 197 inches. Okay. Let's look at these patterns. There's your minus 30 dB special line. Okay. Anything above the lower part of the educational band, look at how good your front to back is. It's below 30 dB. You got great side nulls. Of course, a longer antenna has a more narrow beam. So this was, you know, better antenna. I wish they were still manufactured. Again, unfortunately, I mean, too many of them had stuff breaking. We'll talk about that later. Here's another antenna people used. This was AntennaCraft FM-10. I had some of these, you know, 10 elements, okay? Decent enough antenna, 117-inch boom. But again, look, you see your front to back? Good side notes, but your front to back, it just isn't there. It's difficult, it seems. Because a lot of the older antennas, honestly, they were designed empirically. You might have had an engineer making some calculations and stuff, but a lot of it was take it out, experiment, experiment, experiment. And it just, compared to what a computer program can do, you can't get, because they couldn't seem to get wideband, great front-to-back ratio, which is really important. You know, it's important on AM. It's super important on FM, because there are stations everywhere on FM. So you see, this antenna didn't cut it either. Now, what somebody did was, and it was written up in the VUD, I don't know, maybe 25 plus years ago, they got smart and they tried to make a better antenna. These were cheap enough, so they took the three sections here on the FM-10, added them on, made an FM-13. Now, AntennaCraft got wind of that and decided to design their own FM-13. Not the same thing. Smaller, closer together. I had said, oh, this might be a better antenna. And, of course, it's longer, so it's more narrow beam. But look at the front to back again. It all seems, the whole problem is, you know, front to back 30 dB is almost a dream. Look at this blowing up at the high end. And as soon as I put this antenna up and I tuned around, oops, no, don't like it. FM antennas are almost universally not commercially made. Well, anymore. Yes.
I was just going to ask. I have a bare bones the 6. I wondered how poorly that chart.
You want to talk about the 6?
Yeah, that's what it's a bare bones.
You want to improve your 6?
Good.
I have all that info right here.
I'm just curious what the charts look like.
Here's the FM6. Nice small antenna. I think Radio Shack sold these.
That was where I got it. I couldn't get anybody else.
Radio Shack sold these, and maybe you can find some still at some Radio Shacks if you can find a Radio Shack that's open.
No, the one I had was broken, and so I had, and the only commercially available Yagi this couple years ago left was this antenna.
Well, good. Well, I can tell you here, this site can tell you how to make this antenna better.
Okay.
And Pat Martin, you know, premier AMDXer, has done it.
Okay.
So it works. Here you go. Here's the pattern of the FM6. Again, not so good. It's a small antenna.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's going to have a wider beam width. It's not going to have as much gain, etc. But still, if you can get a better front-to-back, you've got an effective antenna. So let's look at these front-to-back ratio figures.
Mm-hmm.
Not so hot.
No.
However, with computer modeling, I don't know why he worked on this antenna. Maybe because it's cheap and it was available.
It still may be available. You couldn't get from any WindGuard or anybody.
Look right here. To greatly improve the pattern, alter the elements to these lengths from the boom center to element tip. And here's your information. So you can alter your elements, change your lengths, okay? Many, many ways to do that. Okay. Sometimes if I want to change the length on an antenna, back in the day, and I built some of my own too, is I had, you have enough scrap antennas, junk antennas, or cheap antennas, or lousy antennas. You can take those elements, okay? I use aluminum tape to attach one to the other, and I would put a, like in here, I would put a dowel, a little piece of wooden dowel, mm-hmm. and I guess use aluminum tape to make the junction. Permanent long-term solution, I don't know. They work several years later. Probably better would it be maybe one little bit of, you know, heat shrink tape around the junction maybe, too, like he's done right here. We'll get back to that in a minute. Now, let's look at the patterns improved for front to back. Look at these. Now you have an antenna, okay? This is still the six-element antenna improved. Why AntennaCraft couldn't do this, I don't know. But again, I'm telling you, these antennas back in the day, they were not designed with computer. It just didn't, the programs didn't exist, or if they did, the government had them. And you'd need a computer as big as this room to run them back in the day. But look at what's happened to this antenna. Now you've got a viable antenna, and when you can get home, you can work on yours. Look at that. That's not bad, huh? Remember, that's like 67 inches long. And if you get more than one, you can array them. Now here's one thing here. Now this has been shown, 810 nanohertz. This has been shown on to improve the VSWR of the antenna. That coil. Somewhere here talks about that. So this, go to this site and FM6 and have fun. That coil can be made and it does improve VSWR. And here's what it looks like. And here, this one's in Chicago actually. Most of us can keep that up, okay? The good thing is, you know, it can, that can be kept up without a major problem with a good rotor, fancy rotator.
The thing that was really good with that is if you try to do any little mini de-expeditions, it's
you
very,
can bring
very
it with,
portable.
Yeah, you can bring it with you. But you want to definitely improve the front to back. Absolutely. It's a big difference. And if Pat were here, he'd tell you the same thing.
Thank
now,
you.
Can we make some... The Europeans, they have done some work. Corner. I think it's Germany or Sweden. I'm not sure. Here is a big, more modern FM antenna. And this is a better antenna than the APS-13 was, believe it or not. What's going on here is, you know, you got 200 inches again, and you've got this reflector back here. That improves the front to back even more. Look at this monster, okay? Does this go on a roof on a 10-foot mount? Perhaps a 10-foot tower could hold this on a roof. Better on a tower. Looks like this is on a roof, though. But that's a very sturdy chimney mount.
That's the guys there, it looks like.
Yes, and guy. Look at these patterns. Here's your 30 dB line. Look at your 40 dB line. Look at that. That's what that screen does, okay? Front to back is below 30 across the band. This is a huge antenna. And corner has even a bigger one. I mean, look at that, okay? Looks like he's keeping that up. Heavy-duty rotor, mast, and looks like guys in four places. I would still think that I have a problem staying up in bad weather. There's another one. Okay.
Wow.
I wonder what the neighborhood association says about that.
Okay.
The comment on that one is that's a hell of a chimney.
Yes.
Just for S&Gs, Les Rayburn in Alabama has got a distribution for those antennas.
Les is going to be distributing the 9.2. That's a much smaller antenna.
Okay. I have mine on the bottom.
I mean, look at the size of this. There's a human being. There's the antenna. So, and here's a slightly bigger one.
Neil.
The 19.4 is even bigger.
How sturdy is this compared to the 8?
I think these are made with 3/8-inch elements instead of quarter-inch elements, diameter. These are sturdy, and they're heavier. You could go to their site and get the specs. This is one. This is the one that's the biggest one. It's 218 inches long. But look at these patterns. This is a real antenna. These patterns are off the charts, incredible. Again, look at the size of this screen. Okay, I have experience with a custom Channel 8 big Yagi Ed made for me, and that thing was about 200 inches long. And the screen definitely improved front to back. So briefly then, we've talked about EZNEC here, or ESNEC, or EZNEC, or whatever you want to call it. Now, I don't have any files of FM antennas. I couldn't find any. However, I could find somebody on a the HDTV primer site where he compared HDT antennas, he had files of TV antennas modeled, okay? So let's take a look at a high band. If we look at a high band VHF antenna from channel 7 to channel 13, that is double the frequency range for FM. So if I do that, use that antenna at that frequency, and we just tone it, you know, cut it in half for FM, cut all the spacings in half, there you go, B for FM. Here is the typical, this was the WineGuard 1713, or YA1713. This was obviously discontinued, but they were available, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. This was WineGuard's high-band TV antenna Yagi. 196, that would correlate to 98 megahertz, middle of FM band. You know, typical pattern again, you know, designed by hand, your front to back. I mean, they just can't get it, and they can't wideband it. They never really got it good. So let's look at here. We have gain, 11.4 dBi, front to back, about 18. Now let's look at something that can be done. You can stack them. Stack in terms of for VHF guys is would be called an array for AM guys. Stack is a vertical array. You stack one antenna on top of the other. That's why they call it stack. These are stacked half a wavelength apart, vertically. What's happened? I don't know. For some reason, there's some, got to be some favorable coupling between the antenna, but the front to back is improved even. And gain's improved. It's up about 2.5 dB from where it was. So, again, ideally stacking everything perfect, you'd be getting about a 3 dB increase in gain, doubling the gain. But, you know, this is a better pattern. Elevation pattern, that's azimuth pattern. Let's look at elevation. Same type of pattern, you know. Nice narrow beam, a half wavelength apart. You'd have your beautiful nulls up and up top and down below. So, again, nice looking pattern. I want to show one more. I want to show two more things, and I'll take some questions. Now, something else that can be done is you can stagger stack them. That means you put one antenna roughly a quarter wavelength in front of the other, feed them 90 degrees out of phase. The best way to broadband that is to reverse the balance, make the balance 180 degrees out of phase, and then add 90 degrees phase on the antenna where it's needed. So what you're pointing at here is in phase, and pointing back at my face is out of phase. That I've done, and that can improve front to back somewhat too. And to really make it rock, for FMVXs that only have one mast, I stagger stacked two FM antennas, connected them to each to something that could, a pot that could vary the amplitude, an attenuator, and connected them again to the Bolin phase box. And I was then dialing up, you know, nulls that I felt were 55 to 60 dB, like virtual wipeout local nulls. Now, the pictures of this, the patterns of this don't look as good as what I got in practice. But you can see, you got, you know, better front to back than before, and some of this lobes here have gone down. And again, you've still got nice narrow beam gain, etc. Another thing that could be done, much more practical with TV than it is with FM, is to array the two antennas this way. One antenna here, one antenna here. Horizontal array. And I'm going to show a model of that one wavelength apart. That should give you a more narrow beam. Now look at that. This is why some of your serious UHF DXers that don't have dishes are taking some of those, you know, what are they, the big long UHF Yagis, HB91X or whatever the names are, and they array two of them, okay? That's practical on UHF, whereas on FM, to be a wavelength apart like this would be, you have to be 10 feet apart. Good luck holding that up. Again, it could be done. Any questions, guys?